Privilege of sharing a few announcements. I know sometimes we may look at announcements as the filler up space, but announcements are actually very important because it tells us what God is doing in our church and also how you and I can be involved in that. And so would you please hit the first slide? Thank you. As many of you know, that our youth are going to Life Conference in the weekend of July. And we've been making this announcement about raising funds for the youth. Now, why is this so important? Well, as a former youth pastor, I believe that when a youth are given multiple opportunities to encounter God, and when they do encounter God, it sets the course of their life to a radical different trajectory. And that they will experience God like they never have. And so Life Conference is an opportunity for these youth to be able to encounter God in multiple ways. And so we have come to ask our congregation that we're going to send 5 youth to this conference. And as we send them, we want to be able to raise funds for them so that they don't need to worry about this and so that their hearts and minds will be focused on having encounter with God. And I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you all for stepping up and for us to just really be able to raise the funds that we have now. We're $900 short. I mean, we are like, you know, in football, the analogy, we're like 4th in inches right now, right? All it takes is just one quick bump and we're in the end zone for a touchdown. And so would you please pray for this? Pray that for this group, that first and foremost, that they will be able to encounter God, because that is our longing and that's our desire for our youth, so that they encounter God and they meet with God in a way that radically reshapes and reforms their life. And as you pray, if the Lord leads you, then please give. Next announcement, baptism and menstruate. This is actually the last day for us to register for baptism and membership. Now, if you haven't been baptized and you're still kind of on the fence, why? Let me just give you one reason why you should get baptized. Because you believe in Jesus. That's it. That's the only reason. Right? If you believe in Jesus, then this is why you should get baptized. Because this is our first step of obedience in following after God. So if that's you, come see me afterwards. And membership as well. For those of you who may be worshiping in our church for a while and you're still kind of on the fence of why should I be a member of this church, I just want to say this. If you give to our church, you should really be a member, right? Because you're already giving to our church. That means you're already considering this church to be your home. And so if you're already giving to this church, I want to encourage you to be a member. Why is membership important? Well, membership is important simply because you are making a statement that this is your family and this is your home. And this is a place where you're going to grow roots in. And so if you are not a member of our church, I encourage you and highly recommend you to be a member of this church. Right? It doesn't change how we will love you or not, but it says that you are committed to this church and that you want to see God's kingdom grow through this church and that this is your spiritual home. Next announcement. Encounter group. We've been making this announcement about encounter group. And what is encounter group? Well, as the word says, encounter. To encounter God in a way that radically reshapes our life. Because we've gone through a Deeper Life conference about a month or so ago. And in that conference, we realized that there are deeper things that we need to address. And if that's you, if you want to go deeper with the Lord, then if you haven't told me, you should have told me. But since I'm nice, you can tell me today. But anyway, we will begin not this week, but the following week. Okay? So for those of you who signed up, we will begin not this week, but the following week. I will send out an email just to remind everybody. We won't begin this week, but next week. Okay? Next announcement. Not this one. this one. Thank you. As we know that there has been an earthquake in Myanmar, and I don't know if we realize the magnitude of the destruction there. It's actually quite bad. And we as a church, we're not asking you for more money. What we're trying to do is to create a vehicle so that it will make it easier for you to give. And so what we do is that we, you know, our denomination has a disaster relief arm called CAMA. And so all we're doing is that we're kind of being the middle person in making it easier for you to give to this earthquake relief fund. And so if you feel compelled by the Lord, then just simply make a check out and we will pass it along to CAMA. So this isn't about our church, but it is our church simply wanting to make it a little bit easier for you to be able to give to help those who are in need there. Next announcement, I'm going to ask Emma Simo to come up. Okay, I'll make this one first and then she can come up. Church picnic. Yes, it's that time again. And by the way, we just want you to come, not so that you can do stuff. We want you to come so that we can connect with you. Because sometimes on Sundays, it's a little rush, isn't it? You know, we're in and out, and we really don't get that time to talk. And I believe there's no better way to build community than over food, right? And so we will have a lot of food, and it's a very nice place. So please sign up. Information is right there. Please sign up with Betty. Next announcement is the English congregation. I don't think we have had an official gathering since I've been here together as an English congregation. And so on Memorial Day Sunday weekend, we're going to party, right? And we're going to have a barbecue, right? And we're going to have it at the Johnsons, which is, if you want to know, right across the street, right? So you don't need any directions. Just walk right across the street, right? But we do ask this, that you sign up so we know how much meat to give and that you also sign up to bring either a drink, a snack, or a dessert, right? So that we can party and really get a chance to connect with each other and enjoy a great meal together. We have a master barbecue chef, Brandon, that is going to hook us up, right? So, I mean, we're going to have food, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to have a lot of conversations. Okay, I'm going to invite Emma Simo to come up and share with us about the VBS.
Hello everyone, I'm Emma. So for the VBS, so this year I will be coordinate. The VBS, as you know, is not only for the kids. So it's called Vacation Bible School. We invite the age 5 to grade, the 5th grade kids come to join us. But it's the time we can reach out to our neighborhood, reach out to your neighbors, to your relatives, to invite them come here for the 5-day fun activity together. So first, I want to say thank you for you, those who help us for the past years. So this year, we will have the things like this. So what is this in my hand? The magnify glasses. So we will together to magnify God's creation in the very detail and the small things. We know that God loves us, and we want to witness His love to our neighborhood, to the kids, to the families. So now if you are interested, if you want to pray for us, you're so very, very welcome. And if you want to join us for these days, June 16 to 20, not really for 5 days, 1 or 2 days, if you're interested to come to help, you can come to talk to me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. One final announcement, and it has to do with our nomination committee. As you know, we're a Christian Missionary Alliance Church, and as a Christian Missionary Alliance Church, we need to have a nominating committee to nominate board members election, which is coming at our annual meeting in December. And so we've been making this announcement of that the congregation needs to nominate 2 candidates for the nominating committee. Today is the last day. So at 12 p.m., okay, the ballot is closed, right? So at 12 p.m., the ballot is closed. Just letting you know. So if you don't have it, you can let me know or let Betty know or let Pastor Lewis know if you have a candidate and they have greed and there has been a second nominated, okay? So you have until 12 p.m. So still one more chance. But in saying that, we also have two candidates for the nominating committee that has been nominated, and they have accepted the nomination. And so we praise God for their faithfulness in serving our church in this way. The first nomination is Kevin, who is in the Chinese congregation. Right? The second is our very own Mickey from our congregation, and as she will also be a part of this. And so what you can do is keep them in prayer as we seek and discern what God's heart is for the two vacated governing board positions that we need to elect in our annual meeting. So would you keep them in prayer, and would you keep our committee in prayer as well as we seek the heart of God for the future leaders of our church so that we will know how to move forward for God's kingdom. Okay? So thank you very much. Let's stand up. And by the way, in 2 weeks, we will vote as a congregation for these two members. Okay? Would you please stand up, take a moment to greet each other.
Hi, how are you?
Hey,
how are
you? Hey,
I'm greeting you because you told me to.
Yeah, so greet me. So greet me. Good morning, how are you?
Hi, JC, how are you?
Good morning.
Hello. I'm not preaching today. Pastor Wong will preach. Hi. For those of you who doesn't know me, my name is Annie. So I have a little sharing today. So last week, Pastor Ron asked me if I would like to share about my experience with the healing and reconciliation journey between our church and the church that we came out, which is called San Jose Christian Alliance Church. So my first reaction was, honestly, no. I didn't want to share because it actually involved some of my personal feelings, and I wasn't sure if others felt the same way I did. But then I asked myself, why did God lead us into this reconciliation process? And I realized that it was because of His great love for us. He sent His Son Jesus to die for us on the cross so that we could be reconciled and have our relationship with Him restore. That's the very core of our faith. So I told God and I told Pastor Ron, yes, I will share, because I truly believe that God orchestrates everything and that there's a greater purpose behind all that has happened. My sharing today is not just about me. It's not about what others may see me, how they see me. It's all about God, and may His name be glorified. And may we all come to see His great love and His powerful work in our church and in each of our lives. So most of you are aware of the reconciliation journey between San Jose Alliance and West Valley Alliance. So a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Ron shared about, before his sermon, he shared about a meeting that took place, that a couple of our board members attended a meeting with San Jose Alliance pastors and their board members. The Central Pacific District, the superintendent, was also present in that meeting. So I was one of the board members who attended the meeting. I'm very grateful and that I had the opportunity to witness it. It was truly powerful to see reconciliation take place among the three parties. The leaders humbled themselves and asked one another for forgiveness on behalf of the churches. So during the meeting, the district superintendent shared what he had learned about what had happened that led to the split between our churches, including the responsibility that the district had at that time. On behalf of the district, he took ownership of the things that the leadership had done or failed to do. He acknowledged that they had not acted as a mediators nor helped the churches to understand each other or work through the differences. He said that at any point, the district should have been there to protect the pastors, the churches, and the members. He then asked us for forgiveness. After that, the lead pastor of San Jose Alliance, Pastor Ted. He shared about the visit from Pastor Ron and two of our board members back in February when we took the first steps toward this reconciliation. Pastor Ted mentioned that he has shared this process with his congregation. So one of the members asked him, so has San Jose Alliance ever also asked West Valley Alliance for forgiveness? Pastor Ted said he brought that question before God in prayer, and God revealed to him that, yes, San Jose Alliance also need to ask our church for forgiveness for what past leadership had done or failed to do, for words said or left unsaid, and for the pressure that many brothers and sisters felt, which led them to leave the church. It was humbling to sit in that meeting and witness the reconciliation process unfold. To be honest, over the past 10 months, there were many times I asked the Lord, why do we have to do this? Why do we need to dig up things that happened 23 years ago? Haven't we all moved on already? After the leaders share, they turn to the board members and ask us if we have anything to share. At that moment, I knew the time had come. The uneasiness that I've been feeling since the night before had reached to a point where I know that I could no longer avoid it. So I took a deep breath and reached for a tissue, and I began to speak. So I told them that just stepping onto San Jose Alliance campus that day was a breakthrough for me, because for the longest time, I avoided going there. Even when I have the opportunity to drop someone off at that church, I still try not to go in. I shared it for many years. Indeed, I carry some guilt and shame. I felt as though I had betrayed the church. I still remember the last Sunday we worshiped at San Jose Alliance. A sister came to me, tears in her eyes, knowing that some of us will be leaving. She said, I will miss you all. And I, very naive at that time, said, oh, we'll still see each other. I made it seem like it wasn't a big deal, but I realized that it was. Over 200 people left the church, and I cannot imagine the pain and sadness the brother and sister must have felt the following Sunday over there when we were no longer in that church. Yes, we had good reasons to leave, but I didn't fully grasp the magnitude of the impact or how deeply it must have grieved God to see his church divided. I carried that guilt silently for years. I never shared it with anyone, and perhaps that's why every time when someone left our church in more recent years, I would tell myself, don't judge. They must have the reasons, just like you did. As I continued sharing in the meeting, I saw a few familiar faces, people I knew from the past. One was the pastor who played piano at my wedding. Another was a brother that was in the brother group with Bo in our wedding. Relationship had changed since we left, and I realized I've been carrying the weight of that shame and guilt without even noticing it. And I cry and let out all the emotions I've buried for so long. It was embarrassing. I wish I could control it, but I could not. I told them that in the meeting, I was sorry for the hurt they must have felt at that time. I now see that the church split wasn't just about finding a new place or a right place to worship. It deeply wounded the body of Christ. People were in pain. Relationships were broken. Then Pastor Rob, the superintendent, looked at me and said, Annie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that the district didn't do its part to protect the sheep and allow this split to happen. Pastor Ted from San Jose Alliance also addressed to me. He said, Annie, I just want to tell you, you don't have to carry this shame or guilt. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross has reconciled us to God and restored our broken relationship. You are part of us, and we welcome you. In that moment, I cried even harder because I didn't realize how much I need to hear that. I felt accepted. And later, I came to understand that what I experienced was just like a child of divorced parents finally receiving affirmation from the parent that haven't lived with. It was powerful. the burden that I carry was finally released when I felt, when I left San Jose Alliance campus that day, I felt the freedom in Christ. The room was filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, because only in Christ can something like this happen. Only in Him can broken relationship be restored. At the end of the meeting, Pastor Ted said he felt it was such a meaningful moment, especially during the Easter weekend, that we should all take communion together. So we did. Yes, San Jose Alliance, my old church, was very special to me. It's the place where I came to know Christ, where I accepted Jesus as my Savior, where I got baptized. It's where I built friendship in the United States, a place where I love going to every week. Every room, every corner, it held memories. It was there that I met Bo. It was there we got married. I never imagined that walking out of that church one day would mean it would take me 23 years to return. And yet there I was, sitting in that very room, in a meeting where the pastor, the board, and the district superintendent are meeting. And I remember that was the same room where I once talked about ministries, where my first mission trip meeting was, the ministry I love. And I told God, yeah, that was the place that you grew me and mature me. So thank you, Lord, for bringing me back. I'm grateful for the grace and love shown by the people in that room, even those they don't really know me and I don't know them. But I experienced the love of Christ through them. We are one family in Christ. What is church? It is not a building. It is not just a place where we go on Sunday. We are the church. We are one body. We are here on earth to glorify God and magnify His love, His power, and His grace to this world. God called us to humble ourselves and return to Him to do His work. So let's not allow selfish desires, personal agendas, or anything that doesn't belong to God to block what He wants to do in His churches. Have your way, Lord. Jesus, I ask that your blessing would pour over your churches. May God the Father, Christ the Son, and our loving Holy Spirit keep us united. Yes, we can move on. Lord, help our church to move forward in unity, healing, and love, and help us to love our church. Two Bible verses that I want to share with you is from Philippians chapter 2, 1-2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and in one mind. Ephesians chapter 4, 2-3, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So finally, God answered my question, why do we have to do all this after 23 years? It is indeed for His glory and for His kingdom.
Thank you so much, Annie, for sharing with us what God is doing. As we process through all of this that has taken place for our church in the last 10 months and the journey that God has walked our church through, this is only something that God can do. Because just reconciling with just one-on-one, it's already hard. But to reconcile as a church community, that is an act of God. And that shows really just how much God loves us. Here we are, a church in our 23rd year that has been in decline for so many years, and that as a church we could have just closed. But we never did, because God never gave up on us. That God's been actually pursuing after our church the last 23 years. For this moment, because we get to experience healing. We get to witness the goodness of God and His faithfulness. And we get to experience the healing presence of God, and that we can be one family. And so for San Jose Alliance and us, we can officially say that we're sister churches. and we no longer need to put our heads down in shame or guilt that we, quote-unquote, left the church. We are sister churches striving together as a family in Christ to expand the kingdom of God here in the San Jose region and also to the ends of the earth. And that's definitely God's privilege for us as a church. I hope that as Annie shared, that they will help you in your journey, for those of you who came out of San Jose Alliance Church, to also go through your journey of coming to closure and healing as well. But most of all, to recognize that, man, God really loves us. And that he has never forsaken us or given up on us, regardless of the things that we may have messed up in or things that we've done that may not have honored him. And so all glory to God. Let us pray. Jesus, we give thanks to you for who you are and the goodness of your grace and mercy. God, we can say that we witness your hands moving upon our church. We witness how you reconciled our past. We witness, God, your goodness. And God, that will echo throughout eternity in the life of our church. God, that you have shown up in our church and that you have led our church through healing. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence to come and just reveal your heart to us, that you will show us what your heart is this morning. Would you open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds to hear, to comprehend? But God, we do not just want information. We want to have an encounter with you. We want to have an experience with you so that it changes our life. God, I pray for myself, may not simply be a speaker of your word, Lord, because you know that's just so easy, that I will be a doer of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know that the Fremont Police Department is going green? Yes, they are. They, in 2019, they decided to purchase a Tesla to be a police patrol car. Now, that's huge, right? A Tesla to be a police patrol car. And by 2022, they actually have two Teslas. So when I think about that, man, it's pretty cool to be pulled over by a Tesla police car, wouldn't it? Yeah, no, I'm not encouraging you guys to speed or do anything recklessly while you're driving on the 80, but wouldn't it be cool? All of a sudden the lights blur on and you look behind you. It's not an American car that's like a Ford or something, but it's a Tesla that you didn't even hear coming. It was just silent, right? It's such an amazing, interesting thought to have that happen. But when I think about EVs, and I drive an EV, and I know some of you drive an EV, and I know some of you drive a Tesla, right? And you know what I'm talking about when I say, you know, EV range anxiety, right? You know what I'm talking about. It's that fear that you do not have enough battery to get to where you want to go and to do what you want to do. Because think about it. We know that on our speedometer on the EV cars, they have two indicators. One is how many percent of batteries you have, and the other indicator is how many miles it can go. You know the indicator where it says how many miles you can go? That's a lie. It's not true. Don't believe in that. Because it all depends, that mileage fluctuate all depends on how fast you drive and if you have the heat or the air conditioning on and just the style and the way that you drive. And if you're like me, an aggressive driver, because I'm a New Yorker, I can't help it. It's just in me. Then, you know, you're going to have a little less battery. And so every time when I, that's why I'm so afraid to go long distance with my car, because I have this anxiety that my car is not going to do what I want it to do, that I'm going to get lost somewhere in the middle of nowhere without any power. Now, when I think about that, in fact, the Fremont Police Department actually experienced this, right? The Tesla was on a high-speed chase on another car, right? On 80, by the way. And they were in a high-speed chase of over 100 miles an hour. I know driving in an EV car, that thing is quick, right? But as they're pursuing this car for about 6 minutes, they had to radio in with the other cars, I have to stop pursuing because I only have 6 miles left on my batteries. I mean, that's quite embarrassing, isn't it? Imagine you could let a criminal get away because your car doesn't have any batteries left. It's unbelievable. It's unthinkable. that we don't have enough batteries or power to do what we want to do and to get to where we want to go. I think the Church of God in America is in a similar predicament, that we don't have enough power to do what we want to do and to get to where we want to get to. And the reason why we don't have enough power to do what we want to do and to get to where we want to do is because we really don't know that we have a power source in the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you were to ask Christians how much they know about the Holy Spirit, most of us would be like, I love Jesus. Jesus died for mine, and he, crucified on the cross, buried. And then we say, can you tell me a little bit about the Holy Spirit? He's that dove thing that, came out upon Jesus. I think he came out, I think he lit the disciples on fire or something. And that's about it. We really don't know much about the Holy Spirit. But without the Holy Spirit, nothing happens. And our sermon series, The Holy Spirit, we've been going through this series in helping us to understand who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit actually does. And last week, we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, that the miraculous power, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit gives to us. This week, and we've been actually, our whole sermon series so far has been talking about what the Holy Spirit does. This week, I'd like to specifically focus on who the Holy Spirit is, because I believe that this is such an important fact about the Holy Spirit that most of us miss. And because we miss this, it greatly impacts our relationship and our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And so if you'll look with me to Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. I'll read that for us. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. It reads, "Now a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but bought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what has happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got from the land? She said, yes, she said, this is the price. And Peter said to her, how could you consider to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen. The feet of the men who bury your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At this moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young man came in and, finding her dead, carrying her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events." I don't know about you, but every time I read this passage, I just want to read it as quickly as possible, and I want to avoid it. It's scary. I don't know about you, but it's quite scary, isn't it? That all of a sudden you could be saying one thing and boom, you drop on the floor like there's no tomorrow and that's it. You're done. Finished. Kaput. It's quite scary, isn't it? But before we jump into this scary text and maybe a little bit confusing text for us, I believe that to have a better understanding of the context of this, it will help us to better understand this passage. In fact, in chapter 4, the whole book of Acts, really isn't, quote, the Acts of the Apostles. It should be really retitled the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the Gospel of Luke focuses on the ministry of Jesus, while Acts, which is a continuation of Luke, focuses on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we know Jesus tells the disciples, wait, until the Holy Spirit comes and you will receive power. And so here it is, the Holy Spirit has come and they've received power. And now they're worshiping as a church of God, and they shared everything, and they listened at the feet of the apostles and experienced the miraculous signs and wonders that the Holy Spirit was doing. And then in chapter 4, we're told that the apostles and the Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit, that they were moved by the Holy Spirit to sell their possessions and to give to those who had need. Right, it was such an amazing thing that was taking place, that people were literally selling their property to give to people who are in need. And so in chapter 4, we see this example of one person that is specifically pointed out, and that is our good buddy Barnabas. I don't know if you know about Barnabas, but Barnabas is such an amazing character in the book of Acts, because when nobody wanted to do with anything about Paul, he went to look for Paul when Paul was basically out of sight for 14 years. And therefore, they became two great missionaries and started many churches across the Roman Empire. And so here it is. We're told about a character named Barnabas who sold everything that he had and laid it at the feet of the apostles and gave to all those who had need. And so we saw the example of a person being filled with the Holy Spirit. And now all of a sudden we shift to this contrast in chapter 5 of a person who is not filled by the Holy Spirit but filled by Satan. Right? We know the story pretty well. We know that it was a common practice. Things were happening. People were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were selling possessions. And so now the apostles did not require that everybody who became a Christian sell all their possessions and to live like a commune. No. It was basically whoever were filled with the Holy Spirit generously gave. And the apostle didn't say, after you sell your property, you have to give us everything. It was always determination on who did that. Now, here he is. We have Ananias and Sapphira. That basically means that when they sold their property, they already had an intention of lying. Because they could have kept whatever they wanted. They could have said, okay, I sold my property, I'm going to give 50 of that to the apostles to give to those in need. And you know what? That would have still been very generous. But instead, they choose to lie for some reason. And so when they did, the apostle Peter says, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Why are you filled with Satan? And so we begin to see the contrast. One that is filled with the Holy Spirit and one that's filled with Satan, right? And the outcome of each, right? But in this text, and I don't want to get too much into the text, in this text and what Peter says, it gives us insight about who the Holy Spirit is. Because when Peter says that, how is it that you let the Satan fill you and lie to the Holy Spirit? And then you fast forward a few sentences, he says, you have not just lied to man, but you have lied to God. Whoa, wait a minute here. Peter here now is making this statement that the Holy Spirit is God. Did you know that most Christians in America don't believe that the Holy Spirit is God? There was a study done a few years ago that says this, 58% of Christians in America do not believe that the Holy Spirit is God. In fact, they only believe that the Holy Spirit is a symbol or expression of God's power. Or they believe that the Holy Spirit is like the Force in Star Wars. Right? So this is what Christians in America believe. That we believe that the Holy Spirit is not God, but simply a mysterious movement of God. But what Peter says is true, that the Holy Spirit is God, then it should radically reshape our understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. Because if the Holy Spirit is God, then that what basically means, then the Holy Spirit has the same attributes and the characters that God the Father has and Jesus the Son has. Right? Because we say that the Holy Spirit is God, then shouldn't they have the same function? And by the way, we as Christians, we believe that there's one God that chooses to express himself in three ways. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like me, I'm still Ron, but I express myself in multiple ways, right? I am a father to my children. I am a husband to my wife, right? And I'm a son to my parents. But I'm still me, right? And so God chooses to express himself in different times and in different ways. And so in the beginning, God created. And so he represented himself as God the Father. And then God the Father, we know he created the universe and he has this master plan of redemption for his people. And then Jesus comes into this world. And by the way, Jesus only entered this world about 33 years or so, right? That he was on earth, physically walking on this earth for 33 years. And so in 33 years, Jesus came into this world and he had a plan. He had redemption. He encountered the disciples, he showed God in flesh. And then he left and he says, I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit came, that basically means that you and I now are in the age of the Holy Spirit. Right? That the Holy Spirit is God's expression in which he chooses to reveal to Christians today. That's why we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit granting our salvation. We're the Holy Spirit testifying to our spirit that we're a child of God. We have the Holy Spirit that helps us to overcome things and to experience transformation. So you and I are in the age of the Holy Spirit, but yet if we don't believe that the Holy Spirit is God in some force, then that will greatly impact how we relate with the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. Right? You know, I mean, if the Holy Spirit isn't God, then, I mean, why even acknowledge the Holy Spirit? I mean, you want to talk directly to the person in power. And by the way, as Asians, we're very hierarchical people. We want to talk to the boss. We want to talk to the little people. Right? Most of us treat the Holy Spirit as God's butler. Right? That, you know, we tell God the Holy Spirit got to go and do it. If that is the case, then maybe because we don't believe that the Holy Spirit is God, then we have this misconception in how we relate with the Holy Spirit. And because we have this misconception in how we relate with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit has really no impact in our life and in our church. So if the Holy Spirit is God, and he has characters and attributes like God, then if he is a being, a personhood, just like God the Father and Jesus the Son, then that would mean that the Holy Spirit also has a mind. Right? Romans chapter 8 tells us, who can search the mind of the Spirit? Whoa. The Holy Spirit has a mind. Not only does the Holy Spirit have a mind, but the Holy Spirit has emotions just like God the Father and Jesus the Son. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us, and we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. If that is case, and that speaks about a being, do you know how do we respond to a being? God is a being, and we respond to God by having what? A relationship. And so if the Holy Spirit is God too, then maybe the response that we should have to the Holy Spirit is having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do you and I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Because to have a relationship with someone, it requires conversation, doesn't it? It requires invitation. It requires all the things that is needed to build a relationship. And so some of us, we just pray to God the Father or Jesus the Son, but we don't believe that we can talk to the Holy Spirit, right? Romans chapter 8 says, the Spirit testifies with my spirit that we're a child of God. The Spirit intercedes on our behalf and our moans and groans. Isn't that the Holy Spirit speaking to us? So if the Holy Spirit speaking to us just like God speaking to us, are we supposed to ignore the Holy Spirit and say, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to talk to you, okay? I'm only supposed to talk to Jesus and the Father. That doesn't make any logical sense, does it? So why is it then we treat the Holy Spirit as God's butler and not God? Why is it then we do not pursue a relationship with the Holy Spirit as we pursue a relationship with God the Father and Jesus the Son? And I'd like to tell you the impact of it, of when we have no relationship with the Holy Spirit. When we have no relationship with the Holy Spirit, let me tell you the outcome of it. Nothing changes in our life. By the way, if you've been a Christian for so long and your life hasn't changed, I would like to suggest to you, isn't because you're lazy. It's because you really don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that enables us and gives us the power to break free from sinful patterns. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us this passion to pursue more after God. And so if you've been coming to church most of your life and yet you've never really experienced this emotional impact or connection with God, it's because you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. If a church isn't making an impact in the world, you know where I'm going. It's because the church does not have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're depending too much on ourselves. and we don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so if you and I want to see God do amazing things in us and through us, maybe what you and I need to do first and foremost is to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is God. And if the Holy Spirit is God, then you and I need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We cannot deny the Holy Spirit. By denying the Holy Spirit, we are denying God. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand. I grew up in a Chinese church. And in the Chinese church, we don't talk much about the Holy Spirit. You know why we don't talk much about the Holy Spirit? We go, we don't know. It's just kind of that weird stuff. And we don't want to talk about it because we're scared. We're afraid. We're confused. Right? Let me ask you. Besides me and Pastor Lewis preaching in the last 8 weeks, when was the last time you heard a message about the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you heard somebody talk about the Holy Spirit as not being the hot side hustle of God, but as God himself? If you're like me who grew up in a Chinese church, you would say, no, I really don't know much about the Holy Spirit. All I know is the things that I'm afraid of and the things that I'm confused about. And so I just want to make it clear for us so that we understand. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. It requires a relationship with him. Just as we have relationship with God the Father and Jesus the Son, you and I need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just as when we talk to God the Father and we talk to Jesus the Son, you and I need to talk to the Holy Spirit as well. Just as we welcome God the Father into our life and Jesus the Son into our life, we need to welcome the Holy Spirit into our life. Just as we depend on God the Father and Jesus the Son, you and I need to depend on the Holy Spirit as well. Because if the Holy Spirit is God, you and I need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That is our response. By not having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we are denying the Holy Spirit. Not only denying, but we're really rejecting the Holy Spirit. And when we reject the Holy Spirit, we are not giving glory to God. We're missing something in our relationship with God. Because we don't have a relationship actually with God. Because if the Holy Spirit is God, then we're missing out on something. Scary, isn't it? But it's happening in our life. And so we need to reclaim our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Right? Now we know. We have no excuse. We know that the Holy Spirit is God, and then we need to do our part in relating with the Holy Spirit. I have 3 kids. I love my kids. They love me too, especially when I'm away. But when I'm at home, they don't love me as much. I have 3 kids, and my kids are all very different. My oldest daughter, Kara, she's a little cautious. It's a lot like my wife, Candace. You know, more cautious, doesn't take risks. And then we have Karis. Karis is my middle child, and she's a little bit more daring, a little bit more competitive, has a little bit more extra drive. She's a little shy. She's just like me. And then I have a son who is 5 years old, and I don't know where he came from. Because he's neither like Candace or he's like me. He's just himself. I don't know where he came from, but he's just got his own unique personality. And he does whatever he wants, right? And he's quite an interesting person, because when my girls, when they need help and they need something, they will say, Daddy and Mommy, can you help me? Or can you get this for me? I would like this. But meanwhile, my son, when he wants something, he says, can somebody get me breakfast? Can somebody go with me to the bathroom? Can somebody sit with me? And sometimes I'm the only person in the room in the house. I'm like, I don't know who that somebody is, but whoever that somebody is, nobody going to come in, because my name isn't somebody, and I'm not going to do that for you. I often have to tell him, like, listen, You can ask me. Don't just say somebody. Ask me. I exist. I'm real. I'm not your servant. And by just calling me somebody, it is not acknowledging me for who I am in his life. And I believe that we as Christians, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we do the same thing. We just say, God, please send and help me. Somebody, anybody. But we don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We're longing for change in our life, and we're pleading, and we're just kind of basically saying somebody. We're saying God the Father, Jesus the Son, and God the Father and Jesus the Son is saying, you know, the Holy Spirit's right in you and next to you. Right? But yet you're just ignoring the Holy Spirit and not acknowledging that the Holy Spirit resides in you and is with you. And that if somebody that you're asking for help, the first person you should be asking is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is with you right now. And so I believe as Christians, we have failed in recognizing that we need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And because when we do not have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, then we treat the Holy Spirit as somebody. Like a servant, a slave, to do our bidding. But the Holy Spirit is God. And it requires a relationship with. The same way that we relate with God the Father and Jesus the Son is the same way that you and I need to relate with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit isn't just somebody. The Holy Spirit has a relationship with us. The Holy Spirit longs for us to have a relationship with Him. And that you and I need to have that relationship. Would you pray along with me? As I prepare for this sermon, God has been impressing upon my heart in saying that we need to get right, not with God the Father or Jesus the Son, but you and I need to get right with the Holy Spirit. That maybe what needs to take place in order for us to get right with the Holy Spirit is we need to acknowledge that we were wrong. And by acknowledging we were wrong, very simply, just by saying to God and to the Holy Spirit, I'm wrong for not treating you as God. Right? If that's you, as we heard this sermon today, as God spoke His word, if that's you, if God's convicting you and saying, you know what? You kind of dropped the ball a little bit on acknowledging the Holy Spirit as God and having a relationship with Him. If that's you, you know what God's saying? God's saying as a way and as a sign, as an act of you turning around and asking the Holy Spirit for forgiveness, God's saying, why don't you rise, stand up? To stand up and to make that bold declaration and saying, yes, that was me. But I choose to no longer go down that path. That from this day forward, that I am going to acknowledge the Holy Spirit as my God. And I'm going to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit just as I have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus the Son. And so if God is convicting you of that, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of that, would you please stand along with me as I pray? Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll forgive us for not acknowledging you as God. We confess, Lord, maybe it's through our confusion and our fear, and we ask for your forgiveness. But we ask today, this morning, that would you rekindle this relationship that you long to have with us. And so we welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and to be God over our life. And would you open up our ears and our heart to respond to you faithfully as you move and as you prompt us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the first Sunday of the month. And on the first Sunday of the month, we often take the moment to take communion together as the body of Christ. And when we take communion, we do many different things in it. And because the communion is such a symbolic metaphor of all the promises that comes in Christ Jesus. When we gather together as God's people and we take the communion, we're reminded that we belong together. And not only do we belong together, but we are reminded of God's goodness and grace in our life. That regardless of the failures that we have in life, it is always forgiven in Christ Jesus. Right? And I believe that the symbolisms and gestures have such a powerful meaning. Because I think for most of us as Christians, sometimes it's very easy for us to be informational Christians. And what I mean by informational Christians is that we have a lot of knowledge of who God is, but we don't have the substantial experience to quantify the knowledge. And so when we do this communion, it was this, the way that we're doing communion now, and the reason why we make it more interactive is so that we can have an experiential part as well as the knowledge that goes along with it. And so when we take this communion, what we're going to do is we're going to invite you to come to the table. And why do we want to invite you to the table? Because this is Jesus' his invitation for you to come. That regardless of where you are, regardless of what mistakes you may have, regardless of how you even feel about yourself, this is the invitation of God to come to his presence, to find rest, to find healing, to find wholeness. This is God's invitation. And so the reason why we get up is so that we remind ourselves that we are responding and we are saying yes. And so when we ask you to come up, we're going to ask you to come up on the side. Why? Because the way that you come up is that we are broken, we're sinners. But when we encounter Christ, our life changes. And so as we take the bread and the cup, I want you to go back towards the center. Because it's symbolically telling us that when we encounter Christ and when we encounter God, our life changes. That we came up one direction and now we're leaving a different way because we encounter Jesus. Now, before we actually take the bread, we're going to ask you to sanitize your hands. Because why? Cleaning our hands is symbolically representing Christ.